for no tax.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name is Kate Delaney. Hump Day is here, and boy, are there some interesting things to deal with inside the Beltway and in your own backyards. Sadly, as we whip through March, you know, we're getting closer to tax time. How many people listening to me have actually done their taxes? Raise your hand if you've done your taxes. I have a feeling this audience is an audience of procrastinators, and you probably haven't done your taxes. And I don't blame you. Especially if you have a lot of jobs that you've done. I mean, I wonder what the record is. That would be interesting to find out. I don't think Guinness has it. I asked them about this one time, but what the record is in 1 year for the various jobs that someone's held. How many jobs have you held in 1 year? Then you get those good old slips. You know what I'm talking about. The slips that you have to send back in. The W-2s, your wage and statement taxes. Yeah. You sit there with your pencil and figure it all out. Figure out what the deductions are that you can take. And figure, wow, you didn't really make that much money, but probably you're get targeted by the IRS. I know a lot of people that are sweating it. But then I read something last week that there are still people that are getting money back that haven't gotten money back. Are you kidding me? If the government owes you money, get the money back. I cannot believe that people don't file that are owed a refund. That's a whole different ballgame than, geez, I might owe some. I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough. Do I have to get an extension because I didn't have enough taken out or our circumstances changed or whatever? Much different than knowing you have a refund and just leaving it there. I just don't get that. I'd file the day after. Boom. Here you go. Give me my money back. Right? There has to be an easier way to do this. I'm for a flat tax. Just to go on the record and say, I'm for a flat tax. Across the board, baby. That's what we want. All right, speaking of across the board, this comes under the heading of there ought to be a law. There should be a law surrounding all kinds of drivers. Who are the worst drivers on the road? Some men will say it's just flat out women. Some say teenagers. Teenagers, in fact, come up a lot when it comes to insurance. The teen drivers can be tough to insure, especially if they've had some kind of a fender bender. Here's Congressman Bishop talking about the novice driver and some of the scary national stats. Take a listen.
We have a national problem here that requires a national solution. 155 people a week in this country lose their lives as a result of an automobile accident involving a teen driver.
Boy, 155 a week. So you add that up. Do you think that's high? Is that a high number? I mean, anybody dying in a car accident is awful. A baby in a back seat, somebody's speeding, somebody not looking and going through a light. I mean, yeah, any of it's bad. But I didn't realize it was quite that high for the beginning driver. I think it'd be tough to have to get your learner's permit now and to drive in certain cities anyway in the U.S. in these current times. And the reason why is because when most of us were driving, most of us, I mean, I don't care even if you're in your late 20s, the whole thing with the distractions weren't quite as big. Yes, there have always been distractions. A coffee that spills and someone pays attention to that rather than the road, putting on makeup, talking and getting lost in the conversation. I mean, there's a million things that happen, or an animal going in the road and swerving right into oncoming traffic, even though you just sort of plowed into the animal, because what do you do? It's the timing. But because of the cell phones and the texting and all of that combined, I think it's made it that much tougher. So for new drivers, for parents who have kids that are approaching driving age, boy, that's got to be a scary thing. That has to be one of the scariest feelings when you think of trusting your kid behind the wheel of how many tons of metal and just sending them out there. I mean, even you guys, and you have sons or daughters that you drive around the parking lot, teach them how to parallel park, watch them drive, feel pretty confident, and then they're gone. And you can't control the elements around them. Some of that, though, when he's talking about, Bishop is talking about the novice drivers, a lot of that has to deal with the teenagers themselves just distracted in the car with the conversation and laughing and the doing whatever they're doing. A lot of that stems from their own distractedness, being pulled in different directions in the car and being told to go here or to go there or something else that happens inside the car. Wouldn't it be so much easier if you could just have be chauffeured? I don't mean parent chauffeured either. Stranger chauffeured. There are a couple of states where they have that, where they have drivers, and I don't mean expensive, I'm the driver for the family. I mean, they have organizations you can hire that pick up kids and even older kids from school projects or where they've been dumped off for an hour or two to wink, wink, do homework. There is a service that will pick them up. I think that's a good thing. Because one, then you know they're going to get back okay. And then this whole idea of the beginner driver and the distractions, then that wouldn't even come into play. All right, I got a fun fact for you I want to throw out right from the get-go here. Pancho Villa, who was a big-time terrorist, at least at one point that I remember in history, is big-time celebrated in a state that I used to live, New Mexico. There is a New Mexican town honoring Pancho Villa and his 1916 raid. I can't imagine that everybody there thinks that's a good thing. Okay, so because he's become this folk name that's talked about, still you gotta wonder about the feelings, and that's why a lot of people, I think, in New Mexico turn their back on Pancho Villa. And what's interesting is his house is still standing, and the house looks right toward Pancho Villa Cafe, Pancho Villa Lounge, and some little dinky hotel. They just name everything in the town Pancho Villa. They have a big festival. It's called Raid Day, which seems rather strange, doesn't it? Let's celebrate the big attack, because what happened was, it was a nasty border town war on March 9th, 1916. When was it? The Mexican Revolution. In fact, it was the worst foreign attack on the continental United States until September 11th, 2001. How about that? The soldiers roaming the streets and knocking people off. Stay with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
There's a guy named Doc Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a vet and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does this country spend more money on healthcare by far, and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life and attaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs, leading to side effects requiring more expensive, and you guessed it, toxic prescription drugs. Clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit AmericaTonightTeam.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. Makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our America Tonight team. Go to www.AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
We are young, we love the dream, we want to
I'll tell you what, I was never much of a skier, but I love the snowboarding stuff. My nephew has me so hooked. In fact, I'm going to take a trip, and I'm going to try my hand at snowboarding. He says he knows what he's doing. We'll see. He's 9.
Oh.
Can I try? My first time. And the voice everybody is hearing in the background is that of Hannah Teeter. Everybody knows her name, of course. Can you remember? She took my breath away, the 2006 Winter Olympics in Italy. Remember that? The gold medal in the half pipe. She's got so many World Cup victories. I want to say like 6. And, of course, you think back to Vancouver. We did wall-to-wall coverage on those Olympics, and she captured a silver medal in the women's halfpipe there. Without further ado, the voice from the green room enters Hannah Teeter. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, I'm going to ask you for some tips about what I should do in the snowboarding. But before we get to that, you are competing. And or you're going to compete on Thursday. And actually, it's a pretty big deal. We've been following this. And when we talk about the Olympics, we got the U.S. Open Snowboarding Championships. And that's a big deal because, of course, you're talking about the half pipe that I mentioned and all these accolades that you have. And you're still in your prime in your career. And there's been some interesting conditions. So what's the scoop on that? What do you look for as you build up to get ready for Thursday?
Well, it's always fun for me because U.S. Open's in Vermont, and I get to come home to my parents' house and eat all the yummy home-cooked meals and just get ready in that way, being healthy. But I have training tomorrow, so that should be pretty nice and mellow. And then qualifiers are on Thursday, and then finals are on Saturday.
Yeah.
So just having fun, basically. That's how I build up for it.
There you go, having fun. I like that sport already. Year round though. You have to be in shape. What do you do year round? You have different training regimen, I'm sure.
Yeah, I surf a little bit, which is good cross training, and I skateboard a little bit, and then I do the the gym jock thing where I go to the gym and do the routine workouts and the agility and the core stuff just to keep everything prepped and maintained. And I mainly do a lot of gym stuff in the summer, and then in the winter I just snowboard all winter long, and that keeps you in shape.
Yeah, at this young, tender age there in your mid-20s, did you think that your career would explode the way it has?
I had no idea it was going in the direction that it's gone in. I started it, and it was super fun to be out with my friends and hanging out on the slopes and then doing the little contests. And I just had no idea I would make it to the Olympics and do well there and do well at the next one. And I'm looking to go to Russia, and it's just been such a journey.
Yeah, good for you. And you have that right attitude, too. And you and I have something in common. And people that listen to America Tonight know this. Something very near and dear to my heart, really, honestly, is Children International. What they do for kids is unreal. You sponsor 7 kids in Honduras and the Philippines. You've been a sponsor since 2006. And, oh, by the way, CI finds out about it. And you're an athlete ambassador to Game On in that program, which we're going to talk about here in a second. What made you decide to sponsor the kids? What drew you to Children International?
Well, I sponsored a kid since I was young. My whole family used to sponsor a child, and we'd write to them, and they'd write back to us. And it was really amazing to see the changes that we were making in their lives for such a small amount of money. So I had that as a foundation growing up, and then as I got older, I just wanted to work on bigger projects. And so we have a connection with Children International through one-on-one sponsorships like I have, and then we have the underwear line, the Sweet Cheeks panties, and all the half the profits from that go to Children International's Game On program. And I'm getting riders on board with that whole program, like Gabby Viatari. She rides rails and competes in rail jams, and then Monica Born Wiki, she's a surfer, and it's cool to just expand and get people involved. And
yeah, no kidding. And you it's called Panties with a Purpose, as you were talking about Sweet Cheeks. So when people buy that, as you said, part of that goes to the charity.
Yeah, so each pair of underwear you buy sponsors a child for a month, or feeds a child for a month.
Wow.
And then our big goal is just raising money for the Game On program and that whole thing, because they do everything from school to sports to, you know, to nutrition to helping families out, you know, super underprivileged families. So.
Yeah, no kidding. And so tell us about, because I know people are hearing this and they're like, oh, Game On. So that's what you do. You develop communication skills and stuff for kids and younger kids in the community. Is that what Game On does, to give them confidence in these different areas of the world?
It does a wide range of things, from that type of training, like for young kids growing up who aren't in school. It puts them in school, and, you know, they get to play sports, which they'd never be able to do otherwise, because there's no designated locations usually in third world places for sports. And then from the doctors to the dentist to the food that they don't have on their tables, it's a pretty wide program that it just like includes a multitude of things all in one for these kids and families.
Yeah, no kidding. Pay attention, everybody, because I think it's terrific what you're doing. Also, you've made some visits. Somebody told me that you visited with an elderly grandmother who's actually raising her grandchildren on pennies a day. I mean, nothing, right?
It was so intense that me and Monica and Gabby all went down there to Mexico to see the Game On program and meet the families. And one of the families we went to see was this grandmother with her kids, her kids' kids. And she just was like in her late 60s working all day. And she had 3 grandchildren that she cared for and just living in these shanties. And it was inspiring for me and the other girls, because they had never seen anything like that, and it just changed their whole view on, like, wow, this is what it's really like out there in places.
Right, no kidding. And involving, obviously, Gabby, snowboarder, and also, as you said, Monica, surfer, is the idea, let's get some other people in some other sports even involved in this. Do you hope that you'll reach out to some other female athletes?
Yeah, we're hoping more athletes and hopefully some big celebrities to get on board, and just to really push it out there and get it you know, more well known, because right now it's just a really small, you know, production. So we're hoping to make it big so we can help out a lot of kids and get awareness out there of a cool product that really changes lives. And
yeah, no kidding. And it has, Children International has changed a lot of lives, and you're a longtime supporter. You were talking about your family and the letters and whatnot. And we'll say it again, 40% of the money that comes from the apparel line goes to the organization and Game On, which is a huge amount. So we'd be remiss not to talk about them and where people can get them. How'd you develop this clothing line?
Developed it after Torino, because I have the maple syrup for charity, where we sponsored town in Kenya, and I wanted to do another project, another product that could be kind of more received, because not everybody wants maple syrup. So so underwear and hopefully soon a more apparel line will you know, reach the hands of a lot more people than maple syrup would have. So it's just like a step up from that, of trying to get out there more.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so you got to give me some tips. So I go meet my nephew in Park City, Utah. He knows what he's doing. I have no idea, Hannah. I've never even been on a snowboard. What do I do?
It's your first time. So a lot of people hit their butt a lot in the beginning. So I tell people to wear butt pads because it's, you know, no big deal. They're like, I think Red has them, which is a company. Red has them for like $75, but save your butt if you hit it, if the snow's hard.
Right.
Yeah, because that'll just make you bummed if you have a big bruise on your butt.
No kidding. And how about keeping my balance? How do you, you're so good at it. How do you keep your balance? That's the part I don't get. You know, with skis, we have the poles to grab onto.
That's true, yeah. Well, it takes like five times snowboarding. Like, you go up five times and try hard at it, and then you kind of start to get it. Like, your whole awareness and connection with the snowboard starts to kick in. Like, you start to get each other, basically, and then it'll be fun. Have you ever surfed or skateboarded or anything?
I have surfed. I have done that. I was okay. I'm not fabulous, but I can stand up and I can catch a small wave.
Yeah, the balance is kind of similar. But snowboarding, you're just way more free because you have a whole mountain.
All right.
So once that connection kicks in, when your brain starts to understand the snowboard, it'll be, you'll be peachy good.
There you go. I love it. Advice from one of the pros. You're a gem. Thank you so much for coming on America Tonight. We want to tell everybody, please support this program. All you have to do is get some panties, sweet cheeks, or go to children.org. You can make a difference in a children and a lot of children's lives, just like Hannah has done, Seven and her family, certainly, and the people around her. It's such a worthy, worthy cause. You are helping so many people on really just a small amount of money. Hannah, thanks for coming on ATN.
Thank you so much.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Every week here on America Tonight, we talk to Stephen Shohet, rather, about Hollywood, all things related to the movies, sometimes throwback stuff, what's happening with the Oscars. We've had a lot of fun, actually, the last couple of months here doing that, kicking it around. This is going to be a really good one tonight, because I got to say, I'm going to admit this on the air, the first movie that ever made me cry was Bambi. And Bambi is out on Blu-ray. I have to get a copy of Bambi. It has such a good, it had a sad memory, but a good memory for me. And I actually saw Bambi, I hope I'm not dating myself too much, at a drive-in theater with my grandparents. I don't know how many people out there listening can say that they did that. I was 3 years old when I went to see it. And I think Bambi still holds up. Stephen, how are you?
Very good, Kate. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Let's talk about Bambi. What was Bambi significant in your life?
It came out a little later for me. I actually saw it in college, and I saw it with a friend of mine who really enjoyed watching old Disney cartoons. So it took me a while to get to it, actually. So as growing up, I'd have to say no, even though, you know, Disney was significant in my life. I mean, the first movie I ever saw was Mary Poppins that I can remember. So I don't know why the thing with Bambi, like all those cartoons, there were no videos, and they used to come out every 7 years. So,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's why I guess it took me a while to see it, but I really enjoyed it when I saw it, and it's very significant in a lot of people's lives. I mean, a lot of environmentalists and people in the green movement say that their interest in that began when they saw that movie. So it's something that still reverberates today, definitely. It definitely has an impact of, you know, and another thing is hunting. Really, the perception of a change with Bambi. I mean, hunters were always considered sportsmen, and all of a sudden they're considered killers, you know, when that movie comes out in 1942. And actually, it was really resented by hunters. In fact, Walt Disney wanted to have the premiere of the movie in Maine, and he got a lot of flack from the Maine Hunting Association. So he ended up having it in L.A. instead. So, there were a lot of things going on with that film.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't realize it came out in, you said 1948, huh?
No, 1942.
Oh, yeah.
1942. And to give you some background, it was going to be the second feature-length movie that Walt did after Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And he bought the rights in 1937. It was originally written by a man who was born in Hungary but living in Vienna, an insurance salesman whose name was Felix Salten. He was actually bored, you know, working in the insurance office, and he had some time, and he decided to write this story. It was called Bambi, A Life in the Woods. And it was actually, it sold millions of copies, but it was actually banned in Germany, supposedly because Hitler thought that it was an allegory. Since Salten was Jewish, it was an allegory about Jewish persecution with the animals being chased by man. So, you know, there were a lot of things involved with it, but Walt Disney simply thought that it would be a great project for the studio, that they could animate animals with human personalities, although his animators really thought he shouldn't buy it because there wasn't enough story there to make a movie. And it turned out to be the most difficult film that Walt ever made. It took from 1937 to 1942. And the reason was they just didn't know how to proceed. I mean, they didn't know what to do with all the characters and the animals, and it just took a long time. And one of the things that happened was, you know, they had these two deer, fawns, but they grew into full-grown deer, flown in from Maine for the artist to study. And the problem was that the artists were so fond of them that they were very tame, like pets. And that's not what Walt wanted to get on the screen. And a turning point came one day. This big buck came down from Griffith Park, about 2 miles away from the Disney studio, and he crossed over some highways, and he wanted to get to know that female fawn, who was now growing up to be a doe, a little bit better. And so the artists come into work, and all of a sudden there's this big deer staring at them, and he lowered his head and pointed his antlers at them and was very threatening, and they were scared, and then the SPCA came and got the deer. But after they saw that wild deer in action, then they had a better idea of how to draw the characters in the story.
Yeah, no kidding. And you talked about this. You had an interesting article in Big Hollywood, and one of the things you talked about...
It hasn't been published yet, but
hopefully
it will. I said it to you, but it hasn't been published yet.
I'm embargoed, so people will know to look for it. One of the things that you talked about in the, let's say, non-published piece that you sent me was the thing about Bambi when it went into production. I didn't realize this either. You are just amazing with your information, your history on these films. You talked about that Disney's parents had died, and he actually had a couple of movies that flopped, and who knew was he in terrible debt then?
Yeah, at that time, in between the time of the beginning of production of Bambi, 1937, and the time of release, August 1942, Pinocchio and Fantasia had flopped. They lost money. One of the factors with those movies is the overseas market was cut off because of World War II. So that was a problem. There was a strike at the studio where 40% of the artists had decided to stop working, complaining about wages and other issues with Walt, so that was a problem. And yes, his parents had died. Now, a lot of people read things into the story and say, well, Walt's parents died, therefore he emphasized Bambi's mother dying. But it's hard to say if that's true. That's one thing that happened with Disney was constantly people were interpreting things, and constantly he was denying them. I mean, just for example, that you know, in 1933 he made the Three Little Pigs, and people thought he was talking about the Great Depression. I mean, here is the wolf blowing down the houses, and he, you know, here are the pigs dancing around, and the pig in the brick house is supposed to be an endorsement of Roosevelt's policies. And Walt would always say, "I never meant that." And maybe the wildest one, Kate, was in 1937 when he made Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There was a left-wing newspaper columnist who wrote an article that saying when the dwarfs took down the queen, it was a clear rebellion of a miniature communist society.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so now nobody else said this. Walt didn't say this, but this was the sort of thing that was happening with his films. And you know, a lot of people said Bambi, Walt's mother died, so he has the mother die in Bambi. But he, you know, he never said that. He always said, "I'm just making entertainment." Now, the one thing that did happen to him was his daughter, Diane, really came down on him for killing Bambi's mother. And he said, "Well, I have to do it. It's in the book." And she pointed out, "Well, you change books all the time. Why are you sticking to this one?" And the interesting thing is the mother, they never show her dying, and actually they use the animation of the mother in later films, like The Sword in the Stone and The Jungle Book. Shere Khan is after her in The Jungle Book. So maybe the mother didn't die, you know, she just disappears. Yeah, you know, there's another story too. When they had the premiere of Bambi, one of the things about that movie was they were advertising it as a love story. If you look at the old trailers, they were saying it's the most romantic movie and that Walt Disney has ever done. And so they had the scene where Bambi's mother dies, and you know, Bambi's running around the meadow saying "Mother, Mother." And so at the premiere in 1942, a girl in the audience yelled out, "Here I am, Bambi," and the whole audience thought it was hilarious and started laughing, except for Walt and the production crew. And he tried to write it off, but later he said, you know, World War II, the audience just wasn't ready for a story about the love life of a deer. It ended up losing $200,000 in its first release.
Yeah, crazy. What do you think Walt Disney would think of what's going on now as far as animation and what's going on with 3D and the digitalization of effects that we're seeing on the screen? Would he just be blown away by how far the technology has advanced, what's happened now in film?
Well, you know, it's always hard to say what a person like that would feel, because he was mercurial and he was constantly, a little bit contradictory in things. But the one thing was he always embraced new technology. I mean, the key to his success was embracing television when none of the other studio heads really did, because that's what allowed films like Bambi to be re-released and get a much better response from the public. Bambi went into profits in 1957, 15 years after it came out. And he was always embracing whatever new technology there was, whether it be sound, color, audio animatronics, television. So I'm sure the internet and CGI would have held great interest for him, and I'm sure he would have approved of making them, the maximum potential that he could have gotten out of them.
Yeah, no kidding. And as you said, just so everyone knows, I wasn't born in 1942. I'm like your age. Late 60s, so.
Yeah, I was born in 62, I still didn't see Bambi until I was in college, though.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, because I was on the earlier end of that, and obviously Bambi survived and was still pretty big in the late 60s, early 70s.
It's still an important movie, there are farmers in West Virginia who really resent it because deer population eats their crops, and they wish they were hunted more, and the hunters resent it. But, there's a lot of issues with it. Anyway, the book, can I mention?
Yeah, mention the book.
Okay, the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. It's got over 1,000 anecdotes and stories. HollywoodStories.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the book is called Hollywood Stories.
Excellent, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. IG.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When the collapse happens, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
Half Pipe Border Cross Big Air. Few of the events in a sports that's becoming just as popular as skiing. This is the Sports Princess with sports shorts as we head to the slopes next.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take one weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
8 million people choose to go snowboarding every year, according to some recent numbers from the ski industry. So what is it? Think of surfing only on the snow, going down runs on a very small board. That board is attached to the rider's feet with a boot hooking into a special binding. No poles and lots of balance are required. One of the early pioneers was a guy named Tom Sims, a fan of skateboarding. He was one of the first to design an early form of the board when he was just 14 years old in the 60s by gluing carpet to a piece of wood and putting aluminum on the bottom. A decade later, he was selling them for a living. After becoming an Olympic sport in 98, it couldn't have been more popular. And it's not just the 18 to 24-year-olds catching air on the slopes anymore. It's all about balance, not age. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. Beautiful, all the people from Champlain by. Let's just go out and ride.
we're headed to the end of the hour here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As we hit the headers, boy, there is a lot happening. I know we seem to say that every single show. Wouldn't it be great if I got on the air and I said, there isn't a darn thing happening. It is so boring. It is so calm across the United States and the world. We really don't have much to gripe about. It's all good. It is all good, but there is a lot to gripe about. Oh, yes, there is. So here are the biggest things, I think, that are shaking across the land. Still Wisconsin. Nothing has happened here. The Wisconsin governor is now proposing that the union compromise. Ooh. What's interesting is if you say the word compromise, that means both sides, theoretically, right, have to give something. So that means the governor has been worn down. He's softening. He wouldn't use that word if he wasn't softening. So what does it mean? He's offering to keep certain collective bargaining rights in place for state workers if they would give something back. So after a three-week standoff, that would tell you, from the side of the educators and the people in the unions that back them up, that descended like moths to the flame on the Capitol, it works. It shows you it works. So what he's talking about is in the talks with the 14 Dems who left to go to Illinois because they were doing that block, you know, to block the vote on his original proposal, because that would have stripped everything from the collective bargaining rights for any of those public workers. And it would have forced their hand, and it would have amounted to an 8% pay cut. So now, with what's happening apparently in these emails that are going back and forth, they would be able to, the workers that is, would be able to continue to bargain over their salaries with no limit. That's a big change from that original plan, because originally they said no negotiating salary increases beyond inflation. So how about that? He also proposed compromises that would allow things like mandatory overtime, performance bonuses, hazardous duty pay, and classroom size for teachers. Interesting, huh? The increased contributions for health insurance and pension that supposedly would save the state from ruin, the $330 million by mid-2013 would stay. So people are going to have to pay more for their health insurance and their pension. They're going to have to kick in more, but they get everything else. So they can get raises, they can negotiate all that stuff, and they don't lose a lot of the negotiating, I'll call it, power. But will the Democrats accept this? They might think it's inadequate. In fact, some of them were quoted in Wisconsin in the various newspapers and whatnot saying that, it's not adequate enough. It's not going to work. And that they want more to be in there. They want sick leave to be in there, that's covered, and vacation pay is covered so that doesn't get eliminated. And people don't get the sick days, and the people don't get vacation pay. That is pretty big. So I think if those two things get put back in, from what I understand, this is just the rumors coming out of Wisconsin, the whispers I heard earlier in the day, not the stuff that's not all this being reported, that if those two things were to go back in, then the compromise would work. And in fact, they would have a deal. That's pretty big, because then it shows you, if you stick to your guns and you just keep trying to wear them down, sometimes it works. And in this case, I guess you could say it would work if that's what happens. However, the state still gets the money that they were looking for, because the pension and the health would go up. So there would be more money that would be paid in, the taxpayers wouldn't have to cover that. So that would be actually pretty good for the state of Wisconsin. Because they can't allow this to keep happening. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to call uncle or do something. Can't, just can't have that continuing. I mean, for how long do you sit and have this in place? Speaking for how long do you sit and dig your heels into the sand, Muammar Gaddafi is doing just that. And what's happening now is a debate on what to do. Airstrikes. Do we shut it down? Do we send in a military aid of some form? I'm going to say ixnay on the military aid because I don't believe that's going to happen. It's been pretty interesting the last couple of weeks there with the rebel movement kind of weakening. Seems like it's, for lack of a better way to describe it, I read somewhere and I thought, well, that's a brilliant way to put it. They've hit a wall because there are so many people that are still actually loyal to Gaddafi. Maybe a lot of us underestimated his pull, thinking, I think the prevalent thought was, okay, the soldiers who are fighting for him in these militias or in the army are going to just, they're going to give in. They're going to go in the direction of the rebels. But that's not happening. In fact, pro-regime forces pushed their drive on Tripoli with a barrage of rocket fire in the east and threatened to recapture probably the closest held rebel-backed city to the capital in the west. And the city that we're talking about, if it's retaken, then you certainly have a stalemate, even an even bigger stalemate, and Libya would be pretty much divided. So you would have loyalists in the west, and you'd have a rebel east. So what does the world do? Do they intervene? How do they intervene here? President Barack Obama and Prime Minister David Cameron, we were talking about that at the very top of the hour with Jeff Holtzman from Washington. They agreed to a bunch of different possible responses, including what I mentioned, imposing a no-fly zone to prevent Gaddafi's planes from hitting the rebels, because this is what's really killing them. I mean, it is killing them, literally. They spoke on Tuesday for a while, and they agreed that they have to end the violence, and there has to be a departure of Gaddafi as quickly as possible. But now they keep saying this, it has to end and the violence has to stop. And these are words. What power does the U.S. or the U.K. have in Libya? I almost say that the U.K. would have more of an influence there than the United States would. You might disagree. You may have some thoughts on Libya. You may have some thoughts on the situation in Wisconsin. The one thing they both have in common, it looks like there is a stalemate. Digging in is what I like to call it. Remember, you can send me those thoughts, as it were, to americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
We did some Charlie Sheening and we were fine. Yeah, we're just seeing our heads off.
Yeah.